Previously on 2 Past Midnight.
There's a clock hanging on a cement wall. The hands haven't moved. They've been stuck at 2 minutes past midnight.
Are we being rescued or eliminated?
And the wall gets blown in.
I'm not digging through dead corpses and rotting flesh.
All of a sudden you hear this small dog.
How far?
How far south?
They have a fucking tank. There's a command post up ahead.
Is the tank still operational?
Jet flies overhead. All of a sudden you see a giant fucking explosion.
His torn intestines. There's no fucking hospital we can take him to, man.
Still got that pistol on you, Chris?
It's just never gonna get better, man.
He's yours now. May he do better getting you killed than he did with us.
Can't kill a ghost, man. It's got no soul.
You guys hear the sound of another vehicle.
What's your name, Corporal?
Clark. Corporal Clark. I'm trying to make a rendezvous at P-name fucking shithole village around here.
You guys see about 8 bodies lying in the middle of the road. One of them appears to be crawling.
Lieutenant Richardson. Lieutenant Richardson. I see you got a 2nd Armored Division Humvee there.
Cap, you made it? Cap Michaels. It's Corporal Clark.
Sir, a good officer uses the information and resources that he has.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to do. And all I'm getting is fucking questions and fucking disrespect.
Sir, you don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
Corporal, you have exactly 5 seconds to dismount that Humvee. Rifles come up.
He racks the 240. Sir, this does not have to turn out this way. Does not have to go this way.
One. Just to put everything in context, Murphy is paralyzed.
By Jack on the captain, I mean I'm going to start taking everything off of him that says captain. Emmett's getting a field promotion.
And you see a farmhouse. Unmistakable smell. Decomposing bodies.
Them boots is going to be on fucking watch, for sure.
And you see the Humvee starting to pull out of the shed.
Give me one good reason not to put a bullet in your head right now.
Because I don't think you have it in you.
Holy shit, you actually killed that motherfucker.
I got this bad feeling that somebody's hitting that hornet's nest.
Question is, what's our next move here?
And suddenly this fog rolls in. You guys are only able to see 100 meters.
I think that looks like a blown up tank to me.
I think I just heard Keanu's voice.
To your west, you hear this giant fucking explosion.
Follow me, Mr. Cole.
How are we not dead?
I think me and the Almighty got it worked out. I think we got a pretty solid understanding.
You're watching it for a while through the rain, and you don't really see any motion.
Harrison's gonna run his skinny ass off.
Harrison, stay down and keep cover.
They shot me, Corporal Clark.
You get to the top of the landing, and you see a tripwire.
I'm gonna leave it and step over it.
Breach bang clear.
Clark immediately puts his shoulder against that door and just barrels through that room.
Harrison, you know this sound.
I think that's a tank.
One of the last things Clark said to me before we ended up in the city was that he thought he heard my boy's voice on the radio. Harju is fully infested.
I'm surprised to still see you alive, you old bastard.
Oh, look you it is. As if this day couldn't get any worse.
KGB agent Yuri Igorov.
Mr. Cole, it's good to see that you made it.
Why should I let you live?
Brother, I don't know why you didn't shoot him where he stood.
If you shoot him now, shoot him later. This is between you to settle.
We are warriors, and just the things that we have fought for don't seem to exist anymore.
You think you're a warrior?
May I ask, Mr. Emmett, what exactly is your disagreement with Yuri?
We all met him in prison. Yuri was pretty much in charge of most of the torturing for information.
Man, you being with Yuri has really scrambled me a bit today.
So you see, BTR-70 armored personnel carrier, and they open fire.
This is Remington G6, actual. Over.
Shit, Doc, give them our location. We got our guys out there. We don't know where the fuck our people are.
I'm sorry, sir. I didn't catch your name.
Right. I didn't introduce myself. Major Winkler, 3rd Cav, Regimental G6.
Wait, sir, did you say that there were longhorns on that tank?
Yeah. That's the damnedest thing I'd ever seen. Currently, I outrank you. I don't want to step on your dick.
I mean, really, rank ain't meant much to this group for quite some time. My main objective is to find my son, but as far as those women and children, they've got zero chance of defending themselves. And so I think we're going to have to take it upon ourselves to figure out where they've gone.
I mean, just flip the coin. We don't know where they're at. We don't even know if they're in those two towns. They could have gone a whole other direction.
You know, if they got them tanks and they got vehicles, that means they got gas. Maybe we can get some gas for this damn Homer.
You see a small village. We've been having lots of problems here with marauders.
Major, where you reckon the rest of them are at?
All of a sudden, you guys start hearing a honking noise. It's a bunch of car horns, and they're coming from multiple directions.
I mean, no motor noise, no nothing, just the horns.
All of a sudden, right beside you, you hear, honk, honk, honk.
Harrison pulls the device off the battery.
Boom!
They've got horns rigged to electronic components. They're just sounding off. There's not even vehicles. They could be anywhere at this point.
If they're going to hit again, you know it's going to be at nighttime.
To the east, you hear the sound of engines. American soldiers, we are asking you to surrender, and no one else will get hurt.
He wants us to lay down arms and go with him. Anyone that doesn't lay down their arms and leave, he's going to come in after him.
I will continue to fight for what is right.
That whole platoon is engrossed in that man's charisma.
That APC coming up the road.
Yeah, VTR is no joke.
That's another success.
Ooh, it's success.
This is another two successes.
Two successes with the AT.
Suck on this one time.
Come on, Murph. Headshot.
Are you wearing a helmet?
No.
Major Winkler does not have a helmet.
Oh, no.
So that's a headshot with two successes.
That's a crit.
His hand slowly goes limp and falls to the ground, and he's just staring wide-eyed into Doc's face.
I really want to go take this fight to Yuri. The losses he just withstood is not going to help his ability to keep that group under his control.
Oh, I think he's a lot more persuasive than you give him credit for.
Dennis Wolf, would you mind helping the medic?
But between you, me, and the Almighty, I'm still not happy with him. And you know.
She was a good woman.
The best.
Meta, today's the day that Murphy can use his legs again. My enlistment's up, sir. We got Murph over on the church steps cleaning his weapon. All of a sudden, you guys hear a gunshot.
Can't breathe.
Harrison.
Harrison?
Oh, no.
And you guys hear another shot go off.
He's going to run to Doc.
As you do, another shot goes off. You're suppressed, which means you can't do first aid on Doc.
Murph is thinking in his head right now that he bugged out.
He's either long gone or he's holed up in there somewhere.
Sniper gets up at the top, glances around, sees you running towards the base of the tower, pulls their scope up, and squeezes the trigger.
That's a crit, and that's...
That is a crit. Chest, roll a d10.
Holy... No! No! Oh, holy no! Shit! No! That's a 10! That's a 10! Oh, God!
You hear a man's voice talking on the radio.
555 Delta 5.
Pulls out a pencil and he's writing.
It says it's from General Torgerson to head for Bremerhaven.
Like you're running on fumes. In the distance, you can see a gas station.
Counter, they got contact. Stay on the gun. I'm going to run in.
As you go in, rounds come off from around the corner.
Who the fuck is that? Stop right there.
Gordon Lafreniere. I came here with the Canadian Reserves.
See a room with a stone floor, stone walls. Looks pretty old. We can see a mattress sitting there on the floor. Pans over, and we can see like a window that looks outside. And it's like these little slots, right? Like maybe, you know, 6 to 8 inches slots. And we see Jacob sitting on a mattress in this room. There's not really much else in there other than like mattress and a few like meager belongings, some spare clothes, some, you know, canteens or whatever, stuff like that. We hear a knock at the door, and we see the door, and it's like a steel kind of door, but it's shut, right? But it's a pretty heavy metal door, and we hear tunk tunk tunk. The door opens up, and we hear a man in like English, right? Say, hey, Jacob, he's ready for you.
Bruh, dude, cool. Like, yeah, dude, let's go.
Yeah, all right, man. So you start walking down the hall, and as you look around, you can see it widens into a slightly larger hall, right? Where there's like benches and tables, and you can see people kind of milling about. Right, you see like some families and some kids and, you know, parents, and they're kind of just, you know, hanging out. Some of the kids are coloring, some people are eating. They go by like a kitchen, you can see people like working in the kitchen, like, you know, preparing food or washing dishes. And so Jacob's walking along with this this guard who has a weapon, right? Like he actually has a rifle.
He's like, how you been, dude?
I've been doing pretty good, man. But, like, have you seen Chuck, man? Like, I'm worried about that dude. He had a nasty cough, like...
Chuck?
2 days ago, you know?
I think they took him to the infirmary, so...
Did they? Like, yeah. Last time I saw him, like, man, he took us out, you know, to the garden, and we were working out there, and he had this bad cough, dude, and I was like, dude, you gotta get some ginger and, like, some peppermint, man, because, like... That'll help. You make like a tea, you know, but mm-hmm. like I haven't seen him since, you know.
Yeah, no, I think they took him to the infirmary. The doctor took a look at him.
Ah, dude, cool. Like if you see him, like let him know, man. Like, you know, I'm wishing him the best, you know.
Yeah, I'll let him know. So you've been doing good though, man.
Yeah, dude. Me and Melina are getting along pretty good, man. You know, like she's working in the garden and like. It's nice working together, you know, outside in the sun and, you know, it's like, dude, it's just so cool to have, like, all these people, you know, like, working together instead of, like, you know, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, dude, I know, man. Yeah, tell me about it. It's just, it's nice to have, like, a roof over your head, food to eat, water, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Electricity, dude, like, every once in a while.
Once in a while. Like, it's nice, dude. You know, like... Oh, dude, what I would kill for some fucking batteries, you know?
Right.
But, like, dude, I'm telling you, you know Maria, like, over in 7B, man?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Dude, she's, like, giving you the eye.
What? No, man. Yeah, no, man. No, she's not, dude. No, she's not.
Like, come on. Dude, you got a light real quick? Like,
Yeah, sure, man, sure.
Oh, dude, you are the best.
Sure. And he pulls out a Zippo lighter.
And... Jacob pulls out like this hand rolled cigarette that came from fucking somewhere. He's like almost down to like a roach, you know. It's like, dude, you're a lifesaver, man. Like,
yeah, of course, man, of course.
How's he doing today? You know, the old man, you know.
I mean, he's a little stressed, you know. There's shit going on, I guess, but you know, I mean, it's just the way it is, you know. But no, he's okay. He's in a pretty good mood today. You know?
Well, that's good, man. Yeah. Like, maybe, like, I can cheer him up a little bit, you know?
Yeah, he's probably. Like,
little bit of old Jacob.
yeah, man. And they kind of slow to, like, this another door. Like, they've gone through a few different, like, doors and past some guards as they're talking. And down another hallway. And they walk up to this other door. And, you know, they stop right there. And there's, like, two guards standing outside the door when you guys walked up there, too. And they just kind of both stop when they get to the door. And he's like, yeah, man, of course. And he, like, reaches over and taps on the door.
Thanks, Stevens, man. I'm so, like, thanks for bringing me down here, man.
Not a problem, man. Not a problem.
Right on, dude.
Yeah.
Dude, like, telling you, like, check out Marine 7B, man. She's giving you the eye.
All right, man. I mean, I'm not just going to go and be like, hey, how you doing? You know, but
No, that's like dirtbag move. But like, right. You know, I'm just letting you know, man. Like, I hear things, you know?
Yeah. Maybe I'll bring her something. Thanks, man. Hey, so I'll catch you later, man. All right?
Yeah, man. Well, I'll catch you on the flip side.
Yeah. The door opens. And we see a pretty austere room again. It just has like a what appears to be like an old table with like some paperwork on it and maps and shit like that.
Jacob clicks his heels together and gives the flat hand salute and says, "Mein Kommandant."
But Jacob, you need to stop. You need to stop. This is ridiculous. Come on, come in.
Ooh, see, but you got a smile. I saw it.
I did.
All right.
Have a seat, Jacob.
Yes, sir. Yeah, man.
No, not sir. It's not sir.
You know, like, you're on that side of the desk. I'm on this side of the desk. It's like, you know, I used to get fussed at. You know, ooh, sir. You know, like, old habits, man.
At that, he stands up, walks around to the other side of the desk, says, have a seat, Jacob.
Oh, yeah. Of course. Yeah.
And, like, points towards where he was just sitting. So now Jacob's sitting there with, like, the window behind him. Like in the quote, power seat. He's like, no, have seats.
And he feels really awkward about it and kind of like kicks it out sideways. So he's not really like
facing him across the desk. Like, he scoots the chair enough to, like, give a sideways, because it feels weird being on that side of the desk, especially for Jacob.
So Yuri leans back and he says, how have you been, Jacob? Are we treating you well? Is this good?
Yeah, like, you know, there's sunshine. There's a little bit of free. Like, it wasn't as... Like, there's a little bit more freedom now as a one instead of, like, as one of the twos, you know? But, like, yeah, man, like, everybody's getting along really good. For the most part, everybody's got food and water, you know? And, like, you get, like, disagreements here and there about, like, oh, you know, who took my toothbrush and, you know, like...
Yes, yes.
But for the most part, man, like, it's going along really good, you know?
That is what we strive for, though, is unity, is peace. Not having all that infighting that is happens out there.
Yeah, man, like, everyone's really helpful here. Like, if you need something, somebody's like, hey, man, I got you. Or they're like, sorry, man, we just don't have it. Like, it,
right.
You know, like... Funds are low. We gotta make do, you know?
Right, like, not many people have car, for example. Need rides somewhere. Who has car?
Yeah, you're walking, man. That's what it is. But no, like, just getting back to just regular work, you know? Like, working in the garden with my hands, man, like, there's nothing like watching them little plants grow, man. You get the little sprout, and it just got the little legs on it, like the little leaf, and man, it's just... Nothing like it, man.
And I appreciate your enthusiasm, and I've heard good things from the other workers and the security. They've spoken very highly of you, Jacob.
Dude, that's cool, man. Like, I like all the security guys. Speaking of security guys, man, like, Chuck had a bad cough, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm worried about him, you know?
No, he's being seen by the doctor. They're, We have some people out looking for medications and things of the sort, or, you know, herbal remedies, you know, whatever we can do. But he's being seen in the infirmary right now.
Cool, man, cool. Like, I just want to make sure he's doing all right, you know?
No, Chuck is fine. But, yeah, so mostly, Jacob, I just wanted to make sure you were doing well and see kind of where you were, where you thought you were, where do you think you're going, where you think... Where do you want to be?
Dude, where I want to be? Like, see, dude, I've been so many places at this point, man. Like, where don't matter, you know? It's all about who, you know? Like, who is the big... It's the big one, man. It's like, where don't matter. You know, you could be in paradise, but, you know, if you're getting shot at and stabbed, you know, like, the fuck? Who cares, you know? Like, it don't matter. But no, like, I'm doing okay. I mean, my hand, you know, like, it's still got, I can't, you know, like, I can't make it not shake, you know, like, it's still, the garden, like, staying active really helps, you know, but, like, I just, it just sits, you know, like, I can't keep it still.
Perhaps your hand shakes this way because you're still trying to hold on to something. No?
I'd love to let it go, man.
Hold fist. Hold McFeast.
All right.
Close your eyes.
Yeah.
Envision that you are holding on to all of those things. All of those things from before, that world that you came from, that life, the people that treated you like garbage. And then just let go.
And Jacob kind of, like, his hands are trembling, and he's just making a fist, like, reflexively just squeezing it. And he's just thinking back of all the things that have happened in his life. Back to his mom, Uncle Bobby, getting drafted. Like, all of these terrible things that have happened to him, you know,
radiation sickness, all of these things, and he's just dwelling on all of it. And he takes this huge deep breath and he just and he opens up his hand.
Roll empathy.
Okay. That's a flat empathy, right?
I think so, isn't it, for that?
I think, yeah, it's a flat empathy.
Because I made a success over here.
Okay.
One success. So for everyone out there, what that is when you have a mental trauma, it's therapy or counseling. Like, that's how it works. It's a medical aid role and then an empathy role on the part of the person that has that long running, was it a trauma, Jeremy? Is that what it was?
Yeah.
And it's gone. How do you feel, Jacob?
Like, dude, how'd you do that, man? Like, it just...
I know. And he, like, reaches over and taps you on the shoulder.
And Jacob just bursts into tears, but he's smiling, you know?
And Yuri walks around and, like, gives Jacob a hug and, like, helps him up. Go back to your room. Go back to Melina and sit with her. Be with her.
Yeah, man. Yeah. I'll go hang out with Melina. Dude, I have so much to tell her now, you know?
You'll be good, Jacob. You'll be good.
Dude, Yuri, man, like, thank you. From the bottom of my heart, man. Thank you.
Of course. This is what we're here for. Each other. And he opens the door. One of the other guards that's out there, like, leads you out. And Yuri goes back over and sits down at his table. He's sitting there and he kind of like looks down at his wrist. He's got like an old like wind up watch and he kind of looks stressed for a second and he picks up a radio and he turns it on and all we hear is and he's sitting there just staring at it. He's looking at his watch. And we cut over to you guys in the village. The main team, the main party.
I think I just threw up in my mouth a little bit.
I don't like this at all.
So back to you guys in the village. You guys had finished burying the body. Gordon is there. You guys had rested and done watch, rested again, and everyone, we're basically in like afternoon time at this point. Oh, hold on. Someone roll me a D6 for weather, because that's more fun.
I will get it. Ooh, 2.
Cloudy. So.
Just like we like it.
Yep. Cloudy in Poland. And, yeah, so the whole group sitting there. You got Harrison, Murph, Stanisław, Gordon, and Emmett. Emmett, what are you doing?
Emmett is reloading Psalms, probably sitting at the back of the pickup. Head down, just kind of... I don't know, reliving everything that had just happened. Probably got his that half of a shear out that he had as like a knife. Cleaning the dirt and stuff out from under his fingernails from digging the graves.
And Murph walks up.
How you doing, Emmett?
I'm above ground, so I guess I'm doing all right.
Yeah, apparently that's the bar we're going with right now.
Can't believe of all of us, I thought Cole would be the one to wiggle his way out of here.
I'm just going to show you, Murph. None of us know what day's going to be our day.
Yeah. When it's our time, it's our time. I got no fear of it. Just do the best that we can while we're here, right?
Yeah, that's right.
As you guys are talking, Stanislav is at the... He's checking the engine on the pickup truck. Just checking everything, making sure everything's good.
Everything looks good here. He slams the hood. Looks okay for now. You know, there is... hose clamp may need tighten later. I will keep eye on it. You know, we watch temperature gauge. But I have one more errand to run before we go. And I will be back. So Stanislav turns around and he starts walking home. Headed back to his house.
As you're walking that way, you walk past Harrison.
Harrison, how are you doing? Are you ready? Have you all of your things?
Huh? Hi, Mr. Stan. Yeah, I got my stuff. Where are you going? Can I go with you?
You can come with me, Harrison, but it's fine. You can come with me. I have my goodbyes to say, you know?
I understand. I'll go with you. I like hanging out with you a lot more than those guys.
And I as well enjoy your company, Harrison.
You guys are walking down the street. And I think it was north, wasn't it? It was where Stanislav's house was?
Yeah.
Towards the north?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you guys are going along, and we cut over to Gordon. What is Gordon doing, Kyle?
I guess I would be kind of just exploring the church, just looking at the bell tower, looking at the different flames and, you know, trying to piece together what happened here. Just kind of wandering around, looking at the piles of guns over in the corner and the torn up pews and the fire damage on the bell tower steps and the fire damage on the access door on the side. Just kind of taking in what all happened here, and finally a little bit of gravity to what everybody's been through by seeing just kind of what's left and how fresh some of the damage is.
So you're walking back towards the front of the church after kind of investigating everything. You're walking through the chapel and you see for a moment in the middle of the chapel, you look down and there's just this like blood stain on the floor.
Yeah, that's what I was, yeah, exactly.
And I don't know if they told Gordon about it, but, you know, audience-wise, we know that's where Major Winkler was.
Mm-hmm.
And we keep going, keep headed towards the front of the church. You walk out, and you can see the truck, and you see Emmett, and you see Murphy still at the truck.
Boy, it seems you guys have... You've really been through the ringer. I mean, kudos to all of you for still being here. We've all lost many, many, many comrades, many, many people, but, you guys seem to have hunkered down and fought your way out like rats, so that's, I guess, something to be commended.
Well, we're still kicking. I guess there's something to be said for that. Wish everyone else that we had with us was. It was a high price, Gordon. We keep paying a high price.
Well, the deaths of so many, and it will never really be worth it in the end. But for me, if we can get out of this altogether, it will be worth it.
What kind of situations, combat, have you gotten into since you've been here?
A lot of learning as I go, because originally, I come to translate, I come to talk, I come
to broker, to mediate, and now firing weapons is way more into the only thing that's good. It seems there is nobody to talk to. There is nobody to try to reason with anymore. People are most likely to fire before even saying hello anymore. So I've had to learn. I've had to learn one way or the other to use a weapon. And it wasn't my intention or my nature getting into all of this, but... Well, I've become a fairly decent shot, and unfortunately fairly decent, and wrapping up my brethren and burying them. But initially, I did not come here for the love of war. I did not come here to try to prove a point. I came because I was told we could talk things out with certain sides, and once again, nobody is talking anymore.
Emmett over there will agree with this. It seems like we keep finding when we talk first, we get shot or shot at. But we do our best.
Well, it is commendable that you all have survived this long, because like I said, multiple groups of just death, and it just seems, I don't know, nobody seems long for this world anymore.
Well, I'm sorry to tell you, but it doesn't seem like this world is long for this world anymore. Everything seems to be in shambles. Even before I made it over here, I was catching word from some of the guys that I had been deployed with that even stateside it was getting pretty bad. Once I found out that over here was starting to fall apart, I was able to sneak myself in, pull a few strings and a couple favors from some of my old friends still in the service. I got boots on the ground here, and I've been looking for my son ever since.
You have a child in this mess?
Yeah, my boy Keanu is fresh into the service, and this is basically everything that's happened since he's been in has been worse than the last. Last I heard, he was still alive. He was shacked up with the 2nd Armored Division running his tank, and we've been on the trail, and since then we've basically run into one hostile after the next. And I got out of the service because I didn't want to kill anymore, and I wanted to put things back together with my wife, my child, my life as a whole. And it seems like God has a different story for me, because it seems like I am more of a righteous right hand than I am of a pastor or a healer. It seems like there's one thing I'm good at. But I'm not going to stop until I find him. So, if you're coming with us, we're going for him. We'll keep you alive as long as we can. But it doesn't mean much.
It's much appreciated. You speak of God. I have not heard many speak anything but ill will towards God in the last few, so finding a man with at least some faith left seems a miracle in this. Oh my goodness, and a father's love for his child. My goodness, you've come back into a war. No children myself, but I cannot imagine signing up for this and just hoping for the best.
Cut over to Stanislav and Harrison. They're coming up on Stanislav's house.
They come up to a small white picket fence in front of the house, and in the front there are red poppies planted everywhere. and the house is still collapsed in on itself. It's never been fixed at this point, so it still shows the burn damage, but Stanislav starts headed towards the backyard.
When did all this happen to your house and your town?
It was about the second year, I think. That is the house you see there is the story I told you of Brigida. And my hand. Yeah?
Yeah, I just didn't know how long ago that was or how deep into the war. How long it's been like this?
It has been at least a year since I lost her. But, if you would not mind, Harrison, could you look inside the house and see if there is anything left to bring along? I would like a moment alone with my wife, if you do not mind.
Of course, Mr. Stan. I'll go in and leave you alone and see if I can find anything for you that'd be worth taking.
I appreciate your help, Harrison. And I will come get you in the moment when it is time to go. Yeah?
Take all the time you need, Mr. Stan.
Of course. Thank you, Harrison. Thank you. I appreciate your patience. Thank you.
Yes, sir. No problem.
And Stanislav walks off to the apple tree behind the house where the grave is, and he just stands there for a minute, kind of rubbing his hands together and the ring around his neck, and he goes, Brigida, I don't think I'll be back. And if this goes the way I plan to, I'll never come back here. But I will do everything in my power to see you again. And I know I can't do it myself. And I know the Almighty has his plan for me, and I don't know what it is. But I wish he'd hurry up. I miss you every day. There's a good man here, Harrison. He's a good man. He's a good man. If anything, if I do nothing else from this point forward, I'm going to see him home. And that's going to take me away from here. But I'll see you again. I will see you again. I love you. And he strolls back to the front of the yard, and he reaches down and he cuts one of the poppies. And he sticks it in his lapel.
So, Harrison, you were scrounging in the house?
Yes, for comedic reasons. I picture Harrison grabbing stuff and bringing it out, kind of like Baby Groot in Guardians of the Galaxy when they're trying to get him to bring the fin, and he just takes everything but that out.
See, I was going to say, roll a survival roll, and we'll roll on the table for scrounging, okay, if you find anything useful.
You get what I'm talking about, though, right? Like, just random shit. He just grabs stuff and brings it out, like, do you need this fork?
I found this salt shaker.
It looks like a cow.
I thought you might need it when you're eating and such.
There's no salt in it, but it's real cool looking.
Yeah, you want to roll survival? And
yep. Ooh, two successes.
God dang. All right,
roll a D100 and then another D100. So roll twice.
A 16 and a 23.
So one of the things you bring out of random shit is a Polish language crime novel.
Okay.
My wife loved that book. She read that book maybe 7-8 times, and she did love that book. I could never get into them, you know. You, Harrison, you can have that book. She would want you to have it.
The other thing that Harrison comes out with, roll me a d6, and then I'll let you finish what you were going to say. Sorry.
5. 5?
Okay, go ahead and continue.
Well, Mr. Stan, I grabbed the book because we got lots of downtime here, as you know. I figure maybe you'd like to read a little bit and get your mind off things. I thought, but now knowing that it was your one of your wife's favorite books, maybe you could read it and feel a little bit closer to her. I would like to read it, but I don't know if you know that, but I don't read Polish.
It did not even cross my mind, Harrison. I tell you what, I will read you this book. Maybe you find enjoyment in it. I will translate for you, and maybe you learn a little Polish, huh?
That sounds fun, Mr. Stan. I like that idea. That's a good idea. Thank you, Mr. Stan.
He's good. This woman, I tell you, she leaves things and from the grave. She says, you do this. You teach this man Polish. I say, okay.
So, Stanisław, the other thing is, about this point, you notice underneath his arm is a wooden box. And you recognize that box. Because you know that inside that box, it's where you guys kept some champagne glasses from your wedding.
Harrison. That box. Let us drink toast. I have some fuel here. Yeah? What?
Fuel?
You drink, yes?
I'll try it.
All right. Well, we mix with water, yeah? So here, we put little thimble of alcohol. Here is glass for you. Here is glass for me.
Real quick note. When you open it, there were supposed to be 6 glasses. One of them is broken. There are only 5 glasses.
He's fine. He's fine. There are only 5 glasses. He's fine. Here, Harrison, I would like you to join me in this ceremony. Here is thimble in this glass, and here is more water. Here, you drink this, I drink this. And Stanisław, like, clinks his glass without even waiting for Harrison, downs the whole thing and smashes it against the house.
And that's then 4 glasses.
And then grabs one more glass and says, yo, drink, here, drink. And he's like lifting the bottom of the stem. Like, here, Harrison, drink with me. Drink, yes. Against the house. Throw it against the house, yeah?
Miss Stan, you sure you want me to break this glass?
Throw it against the house. Here, throw it.
Okay, okay.
And he grabs one more from the chest and chucks it at the house and breaks it.
Harrison throws it against the house, but like not super hard, like almost like daintily, because he thinks he's doing the wrong thing.
And Stanisław pours more into
the last glass.
Into the last glass. And is it the last glass?
Yeah. There's one broken out of the 6. You just smashed one. Harrison smashes his. You smashed another one, you said. 5. There's one. 5. One more.
Okay, so then he just, like, fills it up with too much grain alcohol, mostly grain alcohol, and downs it real quick and just smashes it as hard as he can against the side of the house.
Is this stuff going to make us sick?
It will make you drunk. And he starts stumbling back towards town.
That's fun. I ain't never been drunk that much.
Interesting point. Each one of those glasses was 20. Like, rounds. Like, just...
We'll be dead before we can spend it. It's fine.
I know. I just wanted to let you guys know.
It doesn't matter.
All right, so you guys come walking back up towards the pickup truck where Gordon and Emmett and Murphy are.
Is everyone ready? Are we going? Yeah?
You appear to have found a party on your way back.
Have you not?
No party like the party at the end of the world, no?
I'll drink to that.
Here. And he pulls out a flask from his coat that's actually just filled with, you know, fuel.
Bottoms up, as they say. Gordon takes a drink. Ooh! That'll warm you from the inside out.
He's straight to the head, yeah?
Yes. Right.
There is no police there, so we do not need to worry about drunk driving, yeah? All right. Everybody in truck, let's go.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Pass that around there, Stanislaw.
Have all you want. It's fine. We have whole tank of, you know, from Humvee. It's same thing, yeah.
Yeah, we might as well all take a drink to Cole. And to Doc. Murph grabs the flask and takes a swig, hands it over to Emmett.
Emmett takes the flask and just immediately passes it on to back to Stanislav.
For Brigida. And he takes one more sip and he puts the cap on it and puts it back in his... I picture him wearing like a sport coat. So he puts it back in his sport coat and like his blazer.
If we are prepared, let us go then.
Unless someone's going to object, Stanislav's going to drive. Like, he's just going to hop into the driver's seat.
Yeah, he may be drunk, but he knows where he's going.
Gordon just jumps in the back, has a seat, rests his back against the cab. AK just kind of sitting on his lap, looking around, taking it all in.
Mr. Stan, you good to drive?
I am fine to drive. Get in, Harrison. It is good. Yeah? Come on. Let us go.
Harrison just smiles and jumps in.
Question. Where are you guys going?
If everybody... Wait. Who's wearing the in the truck? Gordy's in the back. Harrison's in the back?
I figured Harrison would be in the front with you. Murph would jump in the back.
Oh. Okay. Okay. And Emmett's on the 240?
Yeah, Emmett would climb up in the back and slide Psalms down by his feet and stand up on the 240.
Okay. And then, so you're driving.
Stanislav just starts driving north.
He's driving north?
Yeah.
Okay.
Why the heck are we going north? We're heading south, you freaking drunk! And I'll pang on the top of the roof.
Is where Castle is. We go north to kill your men, and we save victory. You know, good, evil, we kill men. Evil men. Let us go.
We're catching up to the Reverend. We already discussed this, you alcoholic!
I do not remember discussion, but what happened to killing evil men, good men doing nothing, winning victory? Yeah.
We already had this talk. I told you, I'm not here to dethrone the devil. I'm here to find my son and get back home. Last I heard, he was headed southbound. We go find Yuri, we're all going to end up dead.
Just like Americans. Polish citizens fighting for their cause, and they die in multitudes, and then they just go home. And he floors it and, like, does a donut and whips it around to go south.
Sounds good. Roll me a driving roll. Add a negative, which you think's appropriate.
3.
Okay. Because I was going to call for a driving roll anyway, and...
Yeah, it's not going to get any lower.
Ooh, success! One success on a D6. Woo! Get it, Stanislav.
I mean, you needed it for the travel anyway, was the driving roll, so I was going to end up calling for it, and that ended up being the point to call for it. So, all right, well, you guys are headed south.
As he spins it around, Gordy looks over. Murph's in the back with me, correct?
Yeah.
Gordy looks over to Murph and goes, who is this evil guy? Who is this bad guy?
He's not a bad guy. He lost his wife, his town. He's just he deals with things differently. Don't
no,
worry
not,
about
it. Not the driver. Someone said we were going to murder an evil king in a castle.
Oh, Yuri.
Yuri, what is this Yuri?
At that, the audience knows who Yuri is, so we're going to cut away. Before we cut away, though, Harrison, roll me a survival roll for navigation.
Survival, huh?
Mm-hmm. You said you were navigating, so.
Yep. I was hoping it would be recon.
Nope.
One success.
Who was keeping watch then? Probably Murphy, I assume. Yeah, it's actually -1 because you're in a moving vehicle, but.
You want me to roll it at -1?
Go ahead, Murph.
No successes. I do want to push that.
You can't. It's passive. Ugh. Mental note. So, Frant, those listening at home, that is a nothing and a.
One.
One.
So Murph is having trouble staying in the bed of the truck because
Stanislav's driving like a drunk.
Stanislav is driving A, drunk, B, he's kind of mad that they're not going after Yuri at this point.
Right, right.
So he's a little pissed off and a little drunk, so he's not dodging potholes and he's driving a little too fast.
Yeah. And we're also going into evening, so. So we cut over and we see another stone room, but this one's has really poor lighting. Like maybe there's just like a crack of a window, like up above head level. And it's kind of just like a tiny, tiny little bit of light coming in. And we see two people in this room. They both kind of just like leaned up against different sides of the room. There's no mattresses on the floor. There's just like a metal bowl, one metal bowl in the room between the two of them. It's just like sitting in the middle of the floor. And you can see like there's a metal door that is the only real way out of this room. And it has like a slot where you can like slide the bowl through. And we see that it's Anna and Lieutenant Richardson in this room. And Lieutenant Richardson's sitting there and he's got sweat coming down his forehead. His eye looks like he's been beaten a few times.
Richardson, are you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine. I'm fine.
Did they really went after you this time, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, they did.
We have to find a way out of here.
I know.
I should have let them shoot that man when he first walked up to the farmhouse.
I know. If you do, I don't think I'm gonna make it out of here, but if you do find a way out, make sure you get as many of them as what you can.
No, Richardson, we are getting out together.
Look at me.
We have to find a way out. You have to keep hope. There is future here. Like, we have to leave. We have to find a way. The guards will let their vision down at some point, and we will get by. I promise we will find a way out.
And like you look at him and you can just see like sweat coming down his forehead. And like he's got this paleness to his complexion. And you can tell that he has a fever. Whatever it is, he's sick. And I don't think I'm going to make it. I don't know. It's okay. It's okay. Whatever you need from me, whatever you need, let me know. If I can make a distraction, if I can... Just let me know.
No, you have to hold on. I'm not leaving you here.
You're gonna have to.
You do not tell me what to do. Why is it always men telling me what to do? No, I do not listen to you.
It's not because I'm a man. It's because I'm not gonna make it. Even if we get out of here, I'm not gonna make it. At that, you hear, "Back up from the door! Back up from the door!" And you see, like, rifle barrels pointing into the slot. Back up! Back up on the far wall.
Anna scoots on her butt. She hasn't been standing this whole time, so she just kind of like crab walks back to the wall.
Stand up against the back wall, face the wall.
She stands up and she reaches down to help Lieutenant Richardson up and face the back wall?
Face the back wall.
So she helps him up and she links arms with him to like face the back wall. So she's holding him up and linking arms with him at the same time.
And he's kind of stumbling as you move him to the back wall. And like, put your hands on the back wall.
So she's still got her arms linked, and she's like kind of squeezes his arm in her armpit and puts her hands up against the wall.
Right, and he lifts his one good arm up and puts it on the wall. And then you hear the door open, and you can hear footsteps come into the room. And right off the bat, one of them, like, hand comes up and grabs back of Anna's head. Bam! Bounces it off the wall. You drop to the ground. As we cut away, you see the feet of Lieutenant Richardson being dragged out of the room.